From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello. We're here in my condo with Maggie, and we have Justin in the house with us. We're eating some donuts, drinking some coffee. Crazy week, but yeah, this is the Friday podcast. As always, I'm hosting it. We're going to have Justin in the mix every week if we can, depending on how travel and things like that are going. But
good donuts, so you'll definitely be seeing me around a lot. So
yeah, I'd bribe Justin with some donuts, maybe some 2K action later on.
You bribed me with donuts. Interesting word choice, Zach.
Freudian slip there. But, I mean, it's been just an absolutely insane week. A lot to talk about. Before I do, you know, as always, I'll go to the Twitter mailbag, and then we're going to call out to somebody today, actually. Not Michael Lev. I know you guys probably are going to miss him, but we're calling out to our good friend Adam Butler, who writes for PacHoops.com. He's got as much knowledge about Arizona basketball and Pac-12 hoops this side of Bruce Pascoe and people in Tucson. So I'm looking forward to that chat. And yeah, I mean, let's just kind of go through the things that have happened this week. Nothing happened on Monday, right? That was a normal Monday.
Yeah, I mean, usually people have the case of the Mondays, but with everything that's been going on this week, Monday just seems like the best day ever.
It feels like weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. So Tuesday morning, I woke up earlier than usual actually because I had a phone interview to do. I pop open Twitter and I see all this stuff about Book Richardson. I mean, as by now, if you're listening to this podcast, then you are well aware of all the stuff that happened. Book Richardson arrested for bribery, and Arizona's program is kind of in a state of flux. We'll get to that in a little bit. But that news cycle is still going. But you know, we kept on finding stuff out as people were reading the FBI report. You know, started figuring out like what recruits Arizona maybe, or Book Richardson at least, maybe paid allegedly. And there's guys in the team we think he might have allegedly paid. And then Joe Pasternak's name came into the mix as being on the phone with one of these agents or whatever. So that's just been a few-day stretch. There was some positive news mixed in with the approval of the football facility and Hill and Brand renovations and the indoor practice facility and that stuff. And then we came right back yesterday to some Scotty Young news.
Yeah,
he's arrested for domestic violence. We don't know all the details. We're trying to find out more, but I mean that's obviously not a good sign, and maybe ironically is not the right word, but it's the same day as Orlando Bradford, who a year ago was kicked off the team for domestic violence, is going to jail for 2 to 8 years. But
well, I mean, with all this going on, you know, we were sitting here thinking, I mean, Arizona football is looking pretty good right now, even though that they're 2-2, had a disappointing loss against Utah. I mean, Arizona.
They're like, yes, all the attention's not on us.
Yeah, exactly. All the negative attention's not on us right now. So, you know, Rich Rodriguez and the coaches are probably thinking, okay, let's go on a nice little recruiting week and get back here and prepare for Colorado. Now they got a whole nother mess on their hands with Scotty Young being arrested for domestic violence last night. Of course, the story is still developing. So, I mean, we all don't know every single detail. So yeah, Scotty Young may be good.
Yeah, we're trying not to jump to any conclusions. Yeah. But the reality is the police report says domestic violence, and that's what we can report on until they tell us otherwise. They released a statement saying they're looking into it, but that, I mean, obviously that doesn't really tell us about what happened. But yeah, I mean, I mean, you've lived in Tucson for most of your life. I've been here since I went to school. I can't remember many, like, full weeks. Like, there's been, like, days that have been crazy and things like that, but I can't remember a full week of just nonstop, like, negative bad things happening.
One after
and Raleigh Alkins also, the injury. I forgot about that.
Like, so you forget stuff, you forget.
Like, that kind of was like mixed in randomly. I can think it came out on Wednesday maybe. I don't know how he's gonna be out. What was it, 8 to 12 weeks? He like hurt his foot.
Yeah,
right?
Hurt his
foot. So I mean, if not for the scandal, that would be the biggest news item in Tucson until the season starts.
And that's a good point. Is I was actually talking to our sports editor Ryan Finley, and with all this stuff going on with Raleigh Alkins breaking his foot, if you read the Arizona Daily Star, the print version of it, that story was on B4. And for those of you who don't know the lingo, the journalism lingo,
if it's not on one. Then yeah.
Yeah, if it's not on one, it's not the top story. So the fact that an Arizona basketball injury, a starter is going
to
be out.
I was going to go to the NBA.
It's crazy, but I mean, like you said, Zach, I really don't remember a week like this in Arizona athletics history. And, I mean, the better person to ask this is Greg Hansen, yeah. But I'm sure he will give you the same answer.
I haven't had a chance to, like, sit down and talk to him about it, but based off how he's been tweeting and things he's been saying, I think it's hard to argue that this is, in terms of, like, the negative press, like, there's different kinds of crazy. There's crazy, like, a couple crazy games in the same week and a coaching change and all this stuff, but just the combination of just bad press. And it's like, it's almost like Dave Hickey's like, hey, guys, look. The facilities, like, it's good. Everybody was excited for that, about that for like 20 minutes. And the Scotty Young news came out.
20 minutes. A whole 20 minutes. And then
I texted our boss, Ryan Finley. I'm like, can we just get like one day where we can just like relax?
We will get that day. Hopefully. I mean, Arizona doesn't have another bye week, right? So
on the road next week. But, but yeah, I mean, we're going to go back to the basketball stuff in a bit. But, you know, well, I guess first we should address the Scotty. I mean, Scotty Young, we don't know what's going to happen with that, obviously. Rich Rod has said, after Orlando Bradford kicked off last year, he said if a player strikes a woman, he's off the team. We don't know if it's as simple as that with Scotty. I will, in terms of football, though, I would assume that there's some sort of suspension coming out for him, whether it's like a quarter, a half, a game, a couple games. I would assume that, and I think that's pretty big loss. I mean, you and I were just talking about he's maybe been – maybe not the best player, but he's been one of the most consistent guys. I think Pro Football Focus keeps having him rise up the freshman rankings in the entire country. I think he was at number 5.
Wow.
I mean, how big of a loss would it be if he's even has to miss a game or two?
Well, I'm the silver lining.
They have to win every game right now.
Yeah, the silver lining for Arizona after their 2-2 start is how great the defense is. The defense hasn't been this active or has pretty much carried Arizona. It's always been the offense trying to help out the defense. But now we're starting to see the other way around where the defense are keeping Arizona in the games, and Scotty Young is a key part of that. So with him gone, I think it will be maybe a couple game suspension just because, you know, he was in that situation. On a bye week, guys are supposed to rest. Guys are supposed to get healthy. And
maybe even go home if they can.
Yeah, go home. He's from San Diego. Yeah, it's
drivable.
6 hours away. So, I mean, Scotty Young put himself in a very, very bad situation. I almost feel bad for him. Say the report comes out and there's details in there where Scotty Young couldn't have been arrested, a.k.a. somebody lied in the report. Then I'm going to feel bad for him. But, you know,
Until we
know. This is totally different from the Orlando Bradford case.
That was cut and dry. Totally cut and dry. We saw the report. We saw. I mean, he's going to prison. Like, you don't go to prison unless it happened. He pled guilty.
Exactly. So that's a totally different situation until we know all the full details. But with him being involved in this situation, it's just a bad look for Arizona. This is something you don't need. And I hate to say it. A hot seat kind of season for Rich Rod. I mean, we already talked
about anything can be a mark on the pro con list for Dave Hickey. Yeah.
So, I mean, if Hickey looks at that and really evaluates that, I mean, it could be bad for Rich Rod. But like I said, we need to have the details come out before we can all make assumptions. Exactly. But Scotty Young with this arrest, it definitely does not look good for Arizona football. But let's just say he's not involved in domestic violence at all, and he'll miss a game, maybe two, and then they'll move on from it. So it should be interesting to see the next couple weeks.
For sure. And then flipping to something completely different, recruiting high school football, maybe not necessarily positive because it might not have been a great game for the guy we're about to talk about, but you were at the Cienega-South Point game, much hyped for a lot of reasons. You know, they had Jamari Joyner playing for Cienega, Arizona commit. Maggie's trying to
drag the phone. He stopped.
Sorry about that, guys. You're familiar with Maggie at this point. But yeah, Jamari Joyner playing for Cienega, the game of the year. South Point has Mateo Mele going to Washington, Bijan Robinson. He's potentially the most talented kid in town, and he's only a sophomore. We find out before the game that, you know, Mari Padilla has already been injured. He's one of their starting running backs who had a lot of yards last year. Yeah. Has he even played this year?
Not at all.
Yeah, and then we find out before the game, Bijan Robinson has an ankle thing, and he's not playing. So it kind of takes a little bit of the steam out of the game. But, I mean, you were able to watch Jamari Joyner up close. I mean, what were your impressions of him, and what did you come out of that game thinking about Jamari?
I was really impressed. I'm always impressed whenever I watch him, if it's maybe like a third and long situation and he gets the first down with his feet. Because, I mean, he'll drop back, doesn't see anything, and does the old Brandon Dawkins move where he's like, yeah, I'm just going to tuck and run. But he's so good at running the ball, he's able to, you know, make defenders miss, and he extends plays. That's Jamari's gift. Now, when you're going to play quarterback at the next level, and he wants to play quarterback at the next level, you have to be able to extend plays with your arm as well. Try to find some sort of open receiver, whether they go deep and then they come back and you find them on the first down. But Jamari went 6 for 16 for 77 yards.
Against a team with, like, some guys who might be playing in college, too.
So. Exactly. Yeah. So it was a pretty rough game for Jamari in terms of throwing. But, you know, he's a game manager at the same time. So even if he has a bad game. And Cienega, going into this year, was a team where if Jamari had a bad game, they will not win. He had a bad game, and they still won pretty handedly. I mean, they only won by 10 points, but during the entire game, you felt like Cienega had a pretty good grip. So I think Jamari and Cienega, I think they're a very talented team. They are loaded. I mean, I think they are the best team in Tucson. They proved that last night. So
state championship at Arizona Stadium.
Maybe. And maybe. And I think that'll be a perfect situation for Jamari, but going back to Jamari's performance, Rich Rodriguez was there. And wearing jeans.
Yeah, I know. When you tweeted that, I was surprised. He had some nice sneaks on though, right?
Yeah, I mean they kind of look like Mambas. And you know Rich Rodriguez is like hip when he doesn't tie the shoes. He leaves like the laces like dangling, you know what I mean?
Well, it's all about going quick, so the shoes come off quicker, I guess.
So no, he was there sitting on the sideline, and Jamari Joyner on a third down was running towards the sideline, and a South Point linebacker came over and just stripped him. Or he like knocked the ball out of his hands, the ball bounced, South Point covered it, and it was right in front of Rich Rodriguez. So Rich Rodriguez is probably sitting there thinking like, man, this kid wants to play quarterback for me? He's got to learn how to take care of the ball. But no, Cienega looked very talented. South Point, I thought, looked very talented even without Bijan Robinson. So I think the rest of the high school football season should be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I wrote about Jamari a week or two ago. You know, no other – he hasn't blown up quite as a recruit as I think both he and maybe a lot of us expected. And I think in part it's because a lot of schools look at him as an athlete, and Arizona's the only school that's recruited him as an athlete. I mean, as a quarterback, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can't just extrapolate from one game, but you've seen a few of his games, I think, and watched some of his stuff. I mean, do you think he can play quarterback in college, or do you think he'd be smart to listen to colleges, like saying you're an athlete, and maybe open up some more doors, or what do you think about that?
No, I think he is a quarterback. Like I said, he's a game manager, and when he's on, he's on. I mean, there's been a couple balls that I've seen him throw this year where if he was at the next level, I know next level receivers would make that catch.
So part of it is like the talent around you kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean,
which is the case a lot of times.
And Cienega does have talent, but are they Division I talent? And that's where you kind of see the talent gap where, like I said, there's been a couple deep balls where he had where he overthrew receivers by maybe 5-6 yards. But again, this is high school talent. If we're talking, I mean, even guys like Sean Poindexter on U of A, if Jamari makes that throw, Poindexter's going to make that catch. So Jamari will play quarterback. I mean, there's no question about it. He had a bad game last night, but from everything that I've seen this year, he is a quarterback, absolutely.
Well, it's going to be important for Arizona because another story I wrote, not to keep plugging my own stuff.
You got to promote the good, man.
But I wrote about how, I mean, I think it was a part of that story, actually. Arizona needs quarterbacks. They need competition for Dawkins. Is going to be senior next year, but we've talked at length about how maybe Dawkins' future isn't as a quarterback even. You know, he just hasn't really shown improvement, and we don't know what we have and what Arizona has. Sorry, I did a Michael Lev-S slip of the tongue there. but we don't know what Khalil Tate has yet because we haven't seen enough of him, and he's young. And then you have Rhett Rodriguez and Donovan Tate and Kari Lane, who are true freshmen and have varying, you know, question marks to them. So Jamari Joyner can compete for play. I don't know. He's probably not ready to play right away, you would think. But he can come in and compete, and he can have a chance to be the Arizona quarterback in a couple of years. And if Rich Rod is still the coach, he fits the system, and they need him. But yeah, I mean, we'll close that on that note, and we'll go to the Twitter mailbag a little earlier than usual, but I want to do it since I have Justin here, and then we'll call out to Adam after that. All right, let's see what we got here.
All right. Before we go to the Twitter mailbag, we got a little promotion. I think we got going on. So the Arizona Daily Star, we're doing a Wildcats Most Fantastic Fan Photo Contest. So you submit your photo wearing any Arizona gear. So shirt, hat, shorts, socks, the whole nine.
Send us a picture. Hopefully you're not only wearing your socks in the picture,
though. Yeah, so make sure you're clothed all the way with Arizona gear. But anyways, it's a gallery that we will feature on Tucson.com. A winner will receive two tickets right on the 50-yard line versus UCLA on October 14th. And you'll also receive a $50 gift card to the U of A bookstore. So don't forget to submit your fan photos.
Fantastic fan photos.
All of us at the Star are pretty much tweeting out the link to the contest, so just check out our Twitters. And on that note, Twitter.
Mailbag.
Nice little transition there.
Get to the goods.
Twitter mailbag. All right. This first one, conspiracy theory. he also followed it up. Okay, so DTAS 22 said, feel free to dismiss completely. Odds of a connection between book news yesterday and Raleigh news today. He tweeted that after, like, the news was coming out that Raleigh was injured. He's like, conspiracy, whether they were saying that. he followed that up saying, after seeing the picture of Raleigh in a hospital gown immediately after sending this, we can put this odds at zero. But, I mean, there's been crazier conspiracy theories than a guy faking an injury to, you know, distract some people or something.
I mean, a lot of people still think Tupac faked his own death. So
he's like on an island somewhere or something. But yeah, I'm safe to say that I don't think those are connected. They're just bad news.
Yeah.
The only connection is that they're both bad. All right. At R. Bowron, 1856, said, how bad was the actual attendance at the Utah game? And are the fans quietly going to make Hickey's decision for him? I'm assuming you mean about Rich Rodriguez. That was, I mean, I feel like recency bias is at play here. But in terms of the numbers, I think that was the worst crowd I've ever covered. And by just eyesight, it looked, usually, you know, we're usually facing the zone of zoo, so we see the zone of zoo. The section below us is usually the one that fills up, and that was spotty.
Yeah.
And the zone of zoo was as bad as I've seen. I mean, where were you, especially as a recent alum? And I mean, you were in the zone of zoo, I'm sure, earlier in your time. So was I. Like, what, I mean, when I was in it, it was, I think, 2009, 2010 range. They were pretty good then. They had chance at, like, the Pac-12. They had Nick Foles, all these exciting guys. But the kickoff times are still not great,
mm-hmm.
and the fans were getting there over an hour beforehand. They were passing out by halftime because they were drinking too much. But they went. They were at, like, now it's at the point where they're not even showing up. Like, is that shocking to you or not really because of the state of the program?
Even if the state of the program kind of seems like in shambles or rebuilding, what is Tucson doing that's so important on a Friday night or a Saturday night that they can't go out?
You can go to Ben's after the game.
Yeah, why not? And growing up in Tucson, even when Stoops had 4-8 teams, 3-9 teams,
the
Zona Zoo was still packed.
Which I feel like everybody keeps making these excuses, but it was like, it's always been like this.
Yeah,
they've always had late kicks. Even when they were struggling, the fans were coming. It's funny, since Rich Rod came here, the crowds have gone down, but they've had some of the more success than they had even ever. Like 2014, that Cal game, everybody was gone way before that Hail Mary.
Yeah. Like, all 2,000 fans that saw the Hail Mary.
And there was that Oregon game the year before where the fans came after halftime because they saw they might upset Oregon. I've never seen that before.
Oh, yeah, because that was when they had Marcus Mariota, and everybody thought their Oregon was going to come in and just house them.
It was just killing them.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. It's a sad state, and I think it kind of answers the part of the second question.
It's not a good. I think it's going to factor in to Dave Hickey's decision because I think part of what the coach is supposed to bring, or the football program, I should say, is excitement. And there's just not interest or excitement in the football program right now. Even if they were 4-0 right now, I'm not entirely confident the crowd would be much better.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember during that time when you were at Arizona, basketball was still on the come up.
Yeah, that was Miller's early time, and yeah.
So maybe it's the basketball thing. Maybe it's just, you know, what's the point of going out and supporting a team where they're most likely going to lose every single time I go out and watch them?
This team, maybe they're going to win it all.
Exactly. So,
although they tend to falter at the
end. Did students ever say when football was good. Did they ever say stoops over hoops? I'm just curious. I've heard that.
Well, it's the universal. The fans are never, for some reason, and I've talked about this with people, I think fans of Tucson maybe have a little too high expectations of the football program. So even when Stoops, I think eight or nine wins a year would be really good for this program, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because they haven't really had that. But Stoops was getting 7 to 8 wins every year. And in those, they had the Zendejas game, and then things kind of started going downhill, and fans were pretty, and then Stoops on the sideline, all you see is him yelling. People who work for him and play for him loved him, actually, which I feel like is overlooked a little bit. But, yeah, so to answer your question, no, I don't think the fans were saying that because they weren't a big fan of Stoops.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, you made an interesting point about the basketball thing, but, yeah. Next question. At Nick of Time 3, knowing what we know currently, what is best, worst-case scenario for the basketball program after all is said and done? And that's so hard to say. But what I've been – my prediction, this is not based on anything, and we don't know all the details. I think still more coming out. You know, it might not even know anything by the time the season starts, I feel like, which is the crazy part. But my thought was, based off the things in the charges and all that, I would assume the best-case scenario is that all that happens is their 2018 class disintegrates and they lose some scholarships, which isn't good, but compared to what's – the worst case scenario, which, you know, death penalty, Sean Miller loses his job, Raleigh Hawkins or some other players aren't eligible. Like, I mean, those are kind of the extremes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just so hard to say. Like, that's just, like, purely based on, like, what could happen, not based on what we know or anything. Those are, like, the worst and best case scenarios.
But you talked about the 2018 class, the recruiting class, disintegrating. So those guys all decommit and go elsewhere, but Sharif O'Neal and Brandon Williams, they all went out on Twitter and said, like, no, we're staying. Yeah. We're staying committed. So that's refreshing for Arizona basketball fans.
But things change so much in recruiting, who knows? But
exactly. Yeah. So
there's so much we don't know is the main issue. The fact that Miller's name hasn't been mentioned at all is, I don't know.
It's fishy.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, and that's also another thing is people were getting at Greg Hansen on Twitter when he tweeted in Dave Hickey's in the president's statement, yeah, how he wasn't mentioned when the Ohio State job opened up. The president said, Robert Robbins said, over my dead body. So, but that's a coaching vacancy. That's not an FBI investigation.
It's a little different.
So I can understand where fans were kind of saying, like, oh, well, Miller's not the primary target. Why are you even going after him like that? All we're saying is that it's suspicious.
Everybody always thinks there's so much extremes. We're either homers or we're going too hard after them. Like, you guys got to make up your mind.
We're going to be as objective as possible. Yes. So,
but the fact is they haven't mentioned Miller yet, and we don't know what that means. It might not mean anything, but it might mean there's something coming. Like, it's just there's so much we don't. That's why everybody's freaking out a little bit right now, I think. And that's why we're kind of on our toes. I'm checking Twitter. I check Twitter all the time anyway, but now I'm, like, constantly, like, refreshing just to see if there's a breaking thing. A lot of it's been with other programs the last couple of days, Rick Pitino getting fired and whatnot. But
yeah, I think worst-case scenario, Sean Miller isn't the basketball coach anymore in Arizona. That is the worst case scenario. Best case scenario, Sean Miller is the head coach.
And they just
lose a couple of scholarships.
Yeah. I mean, postseason ban is a possibility, but it would just depend on, like, Miller's involvement and things like that. But, yeah. So, anyway. God, you guys are bringing down the mood of these questions. At Frat Night Gaming asked, how talented are Arizona's 11 commitments? He means for 2018 for football. Do they compare to the 2017 class? Who's talented? Was this year's class an outlier, or were the 2015, 2016? All right, a lot to unpack there. So it's hard to say. It's hard to say how talented a class is, just because we don't watch them, and there's so many factors. But based off purely off rankings, I would say it's troubling where the class is right now. And again, going back to the Defiki thing, it's going to be a factor because recruiting. You know, a lot of coaches' jobs have been saved because they had a good recruiting class coming in. And right now, I think Arizona's ranked like 10th in the Pac-12. Their biggest concerns are on the lines, and I think they have two linemen committed, like interior defensive linemen and offensive linemen, which Michael wrote about today. Do they compare to the 17 class? No, especially at this time last year when they had like Greg Johnson and Braxton Burmeister. Obviously, a lot of those guys decommitted. But even when those guys left, we're seeing now just how talented that 2017 class was. Just based off the positions these guys are playing and their rankings and and their other offers and things like that. I just think it's safe to say this class isn't as talented. But Rich Rod has maintained that the 2017 class is the most talented he's ever had here. So I would say, in all likelihood, the 2017 class is the outlier, and this class seems to be falling closer in line with previous Rich Rod classes. But like, if Arizona starts winning some games and they get some positive momentum, maybe that changes. Or hypothetically, if Rich was fired and they brought an exciting coach, maybe that changes. But yeah, I personally am a little concerned about where the recruiting class is at right now.
Yeah, and we don't know how talented they are, because
we don't know like how good these players are, but I'm just basing it off like rankings offers.
Well, also you think about all the freshmen that's starting on defense this year.
So how many spots are available to play next year?
So are those guys as talented as them? Because that recruiting class last year had a bunch of diamond in the roughs. So, and they need it on offense. They don't need defensive. I mean, they need to beef up.
They don't need safeties, which they've offered and have a bunch of safeties committed, which is so weird to me.
Exactly. They're good on safeties. They could use some more corners.
And defensive linemen.
That's where the weaknesses on the defense, and the defense that's pretty decent.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that there's probably more questions on offense. They need some receivers. They definitely need offensive linemen. They're going to, with Nick Wilson graduating and Zach Green graduating, they're going to need another running back or two just for the depth chart. Not necessarily to start or anything, but Richard likes having a lot of running backs. And then quarterback, like I mentioned, I mean, they have Jamari coming in, but it wouldn't hurt to have another quarterback, even if it's a JC transfer or something who can compete.
Well, I mean, they just need a quarterback on offense. They just need somebody that can make throws, and somebody that, like I said, somebody that could just make throws. None of these quarterbacks can make throws, and even when they're on the run, sometimes they make kind of head scratching decisions, like when Khalil Tate was in the game and he trucked some guy. All while that was awesome. Yeah. I love every time a quarterback trucks somebody, because when Andrew Luck trucks somebody, as Maggie's tearing apart a chicken.
She doesn't know timing.
It's just, yeah. Khalil Tate, he didn't make a very smart decision, even though I love when quarterbacks truck other people. So you just need a smart guy that can make throws, and like you said, offensive lineman, because you have Leif Frick, who's going to be gone. Jacob Alsadek, who's going to be gone. DeBeer, who's going
to
be gone.
So you're going to have a lot of guys who haven't played. Like, Elatise has barely played this year, and he's going to have to start next year. Bryson Cain's out for the year. He's going to have to compete for time at tackle, and then outside of that, you're going to have to like fill the gaps.
Is Betcher a junior?
So he'll be back, and he can play multiple positions, and you get Eldridge back, and they're going to have Eldridge for a few more years, which is huge, I think.
But like you know, not everybody can stay healthy the entire year,
which is why you need depth, and they don't even have that right now on the O-line. Luckily, they've been healthy so far, which is good, but yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about that to no end. Yeah, I think that's a good spot to close up the Twitter mailbag. Yeah, so we're going to call out to Adam just here in a minute, and we're going to chat some Arizona basketball, get a little more in-depth than we already have. We got Adam on the other line. I plan on having Adam on during the basketball season, if there is one at this point. we were texting yesterday, and I think we came up with a good segment name for every time Adam's on. We're going to call it Just a Couple Bros.
Just a Couple Bros. I like that.
What do you think, Justin?
I like it. Just a couple bros?
Just a couple bros. We're just talking.
Barbershop talk. Let's get it.
But Adam, you were just telling us, but tell us again how you're feeling right now. You were mentioning how people at your office have been coming up to you.
Oh, yeah, and first and foremost, like, right, I'm a fan of this stuff, and, you know, I'm walking around my offices, and people will say, you know, how are you, Adam, you know, on this bright and chipper Monday, or, you know, now it's Friday, and I'm just like, oh, hey, guys, my world's crumbling around me, I'm doing terrible, how are you? And they pause, and they're like, well, oh my, what's, you know, is your health, everything? And I'm just like, no, just my college basketball institution is under federal investigation, how are you?
That's so great. Oh, by the way, Adam writes for packhoops.com, which is he does some great analytical stuff. He's Arizona's version of Ken Palm, I would say.
Ooh, that is the highest compliment you could pay me. I might retire on that line. Thank you.
You can put that on your website, like, you know, where they put, like, on the commercials, all the good compliments. Yeah, you could throw that up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like on the movie reviews.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, all kidding aside, I mean, what are you thinking right now about what's going on? I mean, this is just, I mean, we all don't know what's coming, but like, you were as excited about this Arizona roster, just in terms of basketball, as anybody. I mean, we talk about Arizona together all the time. What are you just thinking right now?
It's you mentioned we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't really know what's
going on. Which is kind of the scariest part, yeah.
Right, and so, you know, as human beings, we fear the unknown. We fear that which we don't know, which to me lends itself to, and what we really don't know is anything about the NCAA, what the NCAA does, what the NCAA could do, any of those sort of things. And so when you consider this season, which I truly don't think will be significantly impacted by a lot of this stuff unless a few other things come out, but, you know, based off of what we know right now, the season likely isn't to be impacted. So this is still a tremendously good Arizona basketball team. It's going to be short. It's starting small forward who broke his foot. But now we're going to have this cloud of unknown over the season and for the foreseeable future. And the NCAA can take anywhere from 6 months to, well, let me say this, could take anywhere from a week in the case of Marvin Bagley becoming eligible.
Yeah, true. Yeah, somehow he got eligible in like a week.
Or 2 years, like the case of North Carolina. And North Carolina is committing academic fraud on different levels of its institution. So it's really hard to say, like, when we will know how this is going to truly affect the U of A basketball program. It goes without saying that it has immediate ramifications, be it from a morale or excitement standpoint. But it's really, really hard to say. And so heading into a season like this, yeah, look at this roster, and from a pure basketball standpoint, Arizona is the best team in the country. I truly believe that. They can defend, they can shoot, they can score inside, they can slash. They've got everything a team is going to need except for a starting small forward. That aside, but again, we're going to have this tremendous unknown for a very long time. And, you know, you guys have done a great job of keeping everybody up to date on what it is we might know. But moving forward, man, it's tough to get as excited as we once were.
Yeah.
Considering the future of everything is kind of up in the air, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, so what I was thinking about when all this news broke, let's just say for Arizona basketball fans to kind of take a step back and feel happy about themselves with this basketball team. So let's just say Sean Miller comes out of this unscathed, but maybe one player is suspended for the entire year. They lose Javon Quinterly, but let's just say they do have that season that everybody expects them to have, but they have that asterisk next to it. If they win a national championship, I mean, what do you think about this year's team if they were to win the national championship?
Well, let me ask you this. With like a Giancarlo Stanton pursuing home run records this year, do you think he's pursuing 61 or is he pursuing 73?
Oh, 73, absolutely.
All right, my man, that's what I'm talking about. And then there's asterisks next to every possible NCAA record, it feels like. And so, you know, that's the thing. Winning a national championship is hard. And I think there's going to be a lot of joy in the way in Arizona accomplishing a national title. Sure, there's going to be a little bit of a muddled thing, but looking back, like, I enjoyed the heck out of Jason Terry's senior year, and on the record books, that thing never existed, right? And so, I think the vacating wins thing is kind of a toothless threat. You know, as a fan, I'm concerned about my feelings of perhaps embarrassment. But at the end of the day, you know, I also look back and I watched Reggie Bush play at USC. And that was one of the best college football players I've ever seen.
Yeah, he won the Heisman still. Whether
his family had a house or not.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think there's going to be a lot of concerns. But let me tell you this, Justin. That is a problem that I would love. That is a bridge I would love to have to cross, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like if you asked the fans like a year ago, okay, so you guys win the title next year, but there's going to be an asterisk next to it after because you broke some rules. Are you okay with that? But they would be like, yeah, sure, we'll take that 100 times out of 100.
100 times out of 100. And that I think is the big, you know, I don't know if hypocrisy or issue that so many of us have is like at any given point, the NCAA could find a rule that's going to slap an asterisk, slap some sort of penalty onto a program. You know, it's why you don't go look at your significant other's text messages or emails. If you're going to look, you're going to find something, and it's going to be upsetting.
I like that analogy. I like that.
Right? right? Now all of a sudden, though, it's the FBI. So the FBI, as far as I know, has never looked at my girlfriend's text messages.
As far as you know, yeah. I mean, you follow the Pac-12 as a whole. You got to think the rest of the coaches, besides maybe some schools who might also be hearing from people soon, you got to think they're like, all right, we can maybe catch up to Arizona now, or we can move past them, right?
Totally. That's yeah. The thing that I, well, you know, candidly, I listened to this podcast. You guys ever listen to NPR's The Hidden Brain?
No. What's that one?
It's kind of like a psychology, sociology podcast. I listen to it intermittently. But they went over this thing called the ostrich effect, which is basically, as human beings, we're engineered to absorb information. You guys are in the information business. You guys are basically catering to human instinct. But when we know that there could be bad information in what it is we're about to look into, we avoid it. And it's called the ostrich effect, right? We know there's bad information. Yeah. We stick our head in the ground. And I am 100% a part of the ostrich effect right now. So I have been avoiding Twitter. I've pretty much only been sticking to your guys' newscasts to date. But what I've gathered from the other programs is some of them think that this is an opportunity to catch up. And some of them are kind of thanking their lucky stars that their names, that they're not a university 7, 8, 9, or 10, or whatever the numbers are that's implied.
Yeah.
But, you know, it feels a little bit like the Grim Reaper, and it's coming. If the FBI is asking for information from EYBL and Nike sources, that's, I think, 2/3 of the Pac-12 schools, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are Nike schools?
We've heard statements from, like, some coaches about, you know, we're happy we do things the right way. You know, Bobby Hurley, Wayne Tinkle. But, you know, you haven't heard from schools like Oregon, UCLA, who maybe you, in the back – those are schools, when this happens, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, eh.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks or whatever.
So fascinating. I'm on the edge of the seat. And I guess going back to my own corporate experience, a guy that I work with here is a played basketball at Harvard, was actually on the team that knocked off that New Mexico team a while back. He was on that team, maybe the year before. Nevertheless, he and I are kind of, you know, we're getting our work done. In case any of my colleagues are listening, we're getting our work done. But he and I will sneak off and kind of gossip about all this stuff. And we're both kind of on the edge of our seats, you know, in this odd, twisted means of excitement to see what's gonna happen. And this is, you know, this is our reality television. And unfortunately, it's not as fun or funny when the FBI is involved. It was a lot sillier when it was just the NCAA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But usually reality TV, it's reality, but it's usually scripted. It's not genuine. This is genuine.
Yeah, no, this is – and I think that's one of the things that I've had conversations with people is like suddenly when it's the FBI, it's no longer the NCAA. It's no longer your
job. That was
job.
The crazy
These
part, yeah.
People's lives.
Yeah, right. For sure.
And that's a whole different and you know, like if Kelvin Sampson gets 5 years for texting guys, a show claw, show whatever the suspension is,
whatever, yeah.
He goes and he's a bench coach for the Milwaukee Bucks, making pretty good money, and now he's down in Houston again. Like that's one thing versus, you know, looking at, you know, like Book Richardson of 60 years, $1.5 million. That is some real deal stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. All right, how about we change gears a little bit and talk some actual basketball? You mentioned Raleigh Alkins. Justin and I were talking about before. It's kind of funny, you know, Raleigh Alkins dudes. If not for all this crazy stuff, that would be the only thing we were talking about for the next 3 weeks. I feel like, and that's kind of been blown to the back burner. But in terms of basketball, I mean, I guess what's your take on what the lineup looks like without Raleigh in it? We were talking about maybe Brandon Randolph gets slotted in there. I saw ESPN had him projected as a first-round pick in 2019, which is a little surprising to me, but he has the skill set. I mean, would that be your guess that Randolph gets the bulk of those minutes?
That's what it feels like, especially considering Akon is younger. And again, these are guys that, you know, none of us have a ton of familiarity
exactly,
with, Sean Miller included. But, you know, Akon reclassified. a little bit younger, a little bit more raw. One of our favorite talking points when somebody does sustain an injury is this is a great opportunity for some of the younger guys to get minutes. And I don't even know if that always flushes out. But last year we saw with this Arizona team, we saw that really play out significantly for guys like Raleigh Alkins, Kobe Simmons, and even probably Lauri Markkanen as some of the guys, they're forced into a 7-man roster at times. And so, there does seem to be a nice little recent proof point, if not recency bias, to considering that there is a silver lining to Alkins' to injury. This is a little bit more of a, I get the impression that this is a little bit tougher of a non-conference slate than the Wildcats have had in the last couple of seasons. So I do think that makes it a little bit tougher to navigate. But I'd much rather see Randolph, Acott, et cetera, get thrown into the deep end, similar to, last year, right off the bat with, I think Kobe Simmons was starting, if I'm not mistaken, against Michigan State.
He played pretty well, too, yeah.
Yeah, he had a fantastic game. So I do appreciate getting to see that. And, that's one of the things, depth is a little bit of a misnomer in college basketball, especially once you get to March. It's really just like 6.5 guys that are playing or winning you a title. But you do need that seventh, maybe even an eighth guy to at least have the confidence to come in and hit a jumper here or there. Not unlike, in Elliott Pitts did in some of those big, tough Wisconsin losses. Gosh, how can I not talk about that game?
Can't go a whole podcast without talking about Wisconsin, yeah.
No, that's really even the second most devastating thing we could discuss, I suppose.
Let's do an oral history. Let's do an oral history of the two Wisconsin losses right now.
Oh gosh, what? Just add insult to injury?
Yeah, let's just make everybody super sad.
Well, I could just toss out that I am 0-4 in Los Angeles in Elite Eight. So
just like going to the games.
Yeah, I've missed just the Kansas one in 2003.
That's pretty, yeah.
But this roster's great, and you gave me a little bit of a Ken Pom shout out, and so I will use one of my favorite stats that I've looked up. As far as half court efficiency goes and points per possession, when you include the points scored based off of assists, which is always points scored, right? Because it is innately a bucket. In the half court, Parker Jackson Cartwright was at the same level as Lonzo Ball last year. And so when you consider that there are even more offensive weapons, more refined offensive weapons for him to be distributing to, it lends itself to Arizona maybe being a lot more effective this season in the half court, which is a place that one can be, that one needs to be effective if people are going to throw a massive zone into you, which is, one of our big talking points in seasons past. And so when you consider actual basketball play, there is a proof point that a guy like Parker Jackson Cartwright can be the lead of a team in half court. The converse of that, of course, is I think he ranked like 2,200 out of 2,800 Division I basketball players in transition efficiency, which, we're looking, that one's pretty tough, but if you're looking for silver linings, there's only one way to go but up. And so, it's always good to have a senior point guard, and a guy that can control the ball in the half court is the nice thing to have. So the makeup of this roster is absolutely fantastic. And then, as you guys, I'm sure, have kept up, the reviews out of camp of what DeAndre Ayton can do. You saw him jumping, right?
Well, that kind of got thrown under the rug because that video he sent out came out like the night before.
Same day.
I feel like this is a long. We would be talking about DeAndre Ayton probably every day right now if not for all this other stuff, honestly, because Miller's never had a player like him. I'm really excited to see him play, no matter what happens, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Carl Anthony Towns when I look at him. So, I mean, he's a big body. I mean, I don't really believe that 43.5 inch vertical, considering he had like a 10-yard running start.
Yeah, yeah.
So how high could you really jump at that point? But anyway, wait, Adam. Let's backtrack to your whole Parker Jackson Cartwright Lonzo Ball comparison.
You got a Lonzo head here. He's a Lakers fan.
Okay.
So you're saying that the Lakers should have passed on Lonzo Ball and waited for Parker Jackson Cartwright the next year?
Absolutely. The new agent zero.
Oh man,
I love it.
All right.
Yeah, and it's, and you know that. because that number that kind of put him on the level of Lonzo includes assists. I mean, that's really a hat tip to the talent that has always been around Parker, or at least certainly was last year. And when it considers efficiency numbers, you know, he had some tremendous three-point weapons, and Arizona was a really terrific three-point shooting, or at least a well above average three-point shooting team last season. And that's why it's nice to have a guy like Randolph, who is considered one of the top incoming shooters in the country. It'll be interesting to see what kind of perimeter game Ayton actually has. I mean, if he is the next iteration of Lauri Markkanen, then that is unprecedented 7-foot success at any college level. I guess if you consider like Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns at Kentucky, but that is just outrageous back-to-back talent. So I do think the Lakers made the right pick, and Parker himself made the right pick in staying at Arizona for his senior season. But if Parker could put together a season like Lonzo did, well, then heck, Arizona, you know, you don't need an asterisk. That is just the best team in the country.
You heard of LeVar Ball, but have you heard of Ramon Cartwright?
Yeah, that dude's got some fire to him too, actually.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, you know, Parker has his limitations, but I'm still, I suppose, a college basketball romantic, and that's probably why a lot of this information has me a little bummed out. But you know, that senior guard is kind of the storybook college basketball stuff, and you know, I remain very excited to see what he can do again with all that talent around him.
For sure. All right, I think that's a good point to end off on. Thanks for chatting with us, Adam, and we'll be calling out to you again as the season gets closer. Maybe it'll be a little more positive. Probably not.
we can take it upon ourselves to make sure we do it always. We always try and keep it pretty positive. So it's still basketball. It's still fun, and you know, I'm looking forward to the season as much as I can. I hope you guys are too. And thanks for keeping us all updated on all this stuff.
No, thanks for listening to our podcast, man.
Just a couple of bros.
Just a couple of bros.
Just a couple of bros.
This is the first edition of Just a Couple of Bros of many more to come. All right, man.
Sounds good to me.
Well, thanks for chatting, Adam.
Anytime.
I'll do it for this week's pod. Thanks for listening. I think Justin and I were talking. We've had at least one every day since Monday, when we normally only do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with maybe another one mixed in. So it's been a crazy week. Thanks, guys, for listening in. As always, you can download our free Wildcaster app. You can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app or Google Play. Check out all our work on Tucson.com. Follow me at Zach Blatt. What's your final handle?
At Justin Esports.
And then you want to plug that giveaway one more time?
Yeah, and also just one last thing. We have a fantastic fan photo contest. You can check that out on all of our Twitters, at the Wildcaster on Twitter. It's pretty much the fan photo contest. You submit a couple photos. We choose a winner. You either get football tickets versus UCLA on October 14th or a $50 gift card to UA Bookstore, and we'll keep you updated on who's the winner. So,
all right. Thanks for listening.